97.5, The Fanatic.
Good morning, everybody. Happy, 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 happy Wednesday to all across the Delaware Valley. It's Wednesday, July the 8th. And, you know what we're doing today? Today,
what?
You know what we're doing today, Andrew? Today, I want to sports it up, all right? We're going sports today, all right? I want to dive into, I got 50 things on my mind when it comes to strictly sports today. And that's what we're doing today. We're going to have some fun, and we're going to dive deeply into sports today. Because I think we need a pause. And I think we need, after this story, after story, after story, I think we need a pause. I think we need a break from everything. From the virus, the pandemic, the politicized, hyper-politicized dialogue that's been we've been inundated with. I think we need a break from all of it, all right? And I think we need to dive and remember what we love about sports and how important it is. Because, you know, we had this discussion yesterday in relation to DeSean Jackson. And when it came down to sports, in relation to the social justice, in relation to the virus, we've talked about it. But we haven't really talked about how important sports is as a unifier. But what we haven't done is just dove deeply into the idea of it, right? We haven't dove deeply and just had the conversation from within. And that's what I want to do today. Because I think we need it. I certainly need it. I know you need it, Andrew. So I want to dive and really kind of look at, and I got 50 things that I wrote down about sports that I need to talk about. The first and foremost is Joel Embiid. So I want to have, and we do this from time to time, where we pick a player. And we've had the Carson Wentz, or we pick a sports figure in town, where we had the Carson Wentz discussion, we had the Doug Peterson discussion, the biggest of the names in town that we need to have, and we need to revisit, because the story always changes, right? The narrative always changes. So let's, I want to start off, and he was first on my list because he spoke yesterday. And Joel, Chip did not disappoint. As he never disappoints you, because he's always interesting. You might not like what he says, like Memphis. He goes, I don't know what kind of basketball shape I'm in. I've been chilling playing video games. And I like the fact, here's what I love about him, all right? And this is going to be a kind of love, not hate, because there's really nothing I really hate about him, but disappointing at times. But when we talk about Joel, I find him entertaining. I find him interesting. I find him sometimes be bratty, but I love the dude. I do not want to, I want to preface this by saying this whole Joel conversation by saying I do not want to trade Joel Embiid. I don't want to break those two up. I've said it. I'll be stubborn about it. You can't convince me otherwise. I'm not trading what can be one of the most dynamic talents in the league. I want to keep trying to reach him. I want to keep trying to reach him so that he comes, when he does play, that he's fully engaged. Now, he's the whole key to the NBA bubble. Now, you know, it's impossible to tell how teams are going to come out and what their thing's going to be like, if they can even finish it, the whole thing when it comes to that NBA tournament. For the sake of conversation, we're going to say they're going to play and they're going to finish it, and there's going to be no hiccups with the virus. So with Embiid, the Sixers' chances, it all comes down to him and whether or not he's engaged. I started to think about this when it comes to Embiid. We've had so many discussions about Ben Simmons. And last week, it was about Ben. On Monday, during 7-6 day, it was about Ben. But we don't talk a lot about Embiid. We always focus on Simmons and the lack of shooting and this and that, and it always becomes, you know, but we don't dive deeply into Embiid, because Embiid's game, if you take his game is completely special. It's unique. It can be utterly dominating. He's got a ferocity when he wants to play. He's a big with amazing touch around the basket. He's got touch. He can, you know, we talk about him shooting threes. I don't mind him shooting threes. I really don't. Now, I don't want him to shoot a dozen of them. But if he shoots 5-6 threes a game, I don't care, because I think you leave him open. He's got touch. He'll make his share. Now, do I want him down low? Yeah, I do. Do I want Joe down low at times? Yeah, I want to, but I want to mix. I want inside the paint, post up, and I want him away from the basket. The only thing that gets him in trouble is when he tries to create off the dribble. And that you can't, you know, 1, 2, 3 dribbles, fine. But when you're putting the ball behind your back and you're trying to kind of dash through the lane, that's when you got trouble, because that's when you're going to get turnovers. And I think he's pretty good at passing out of the double team. I think he got better at it. I think he can be great at it because of his coordination. He's got freakish coordination with the basketball at that size. Now, here's the thing. We see him when he wants to play and he's utterly dominating, but there are those moments where he becomes disinterested. And that's the conundrum. Yesterday, Chris Broussard from Fox Sports Radio was on. We were talking about the two, and his plan was this. He wanted to bring them both back, which I agreed. And he said, if something happens, it's not good, you get a different voice in, right? And then as a coach. And then you try them together. And then if that doesn't work, then you look to move, and he said he would move Embiid and not Simmons. And I would agree with that. But I don't want to move either of them, and I want to keep them in the fold, and I want to see them work together, because I think that there's a maturity thing. And I guess this is the big picture when it comes to him. Can he be a guy that ultimately has maturity? Or will he just be an immature player his whole life, his whole career? And I'm curious. Good morning, Andrew.
Hello, Anthony. How are you?
I want to talk. I want to talk sports. I got 50 things I wrote down.
I'm in on the...
All right? And they involve all four sports.
Because it's 50 burger.
Hockey. I got, some Flyer stuff I want to talk about. I got Phil's. I got all kinds of Eagle. I wrote down, it was stream of consciousness. And I wrote down these 50 things, and I wanted to get to his man. I want to dive deeply into that.
It is crazy how much there is to talk about without any sports going on, because you can dive into. There's a lot of high caliber players in Philadelphia right now. There are. I mean, we're looking at a run for the Flyers at some point, a run for the Sixers at some point. The Eagles still have Carson, still have the head coach of a Super Bowl team, and Doug Peterson, still have players that you think at some point can get you back to the Super Bowl. And then the Phillies, maybe a little bit away, but they still have Bryce Harper. They still have JT Realmuto for now. They still have Aaron Nola. They still have Zach Wheeler. Like, they have all these players. So there is a lot to talk about. And Joel Embiid is the perfect jumping off point. He spoke yesterday, and again, he said, I want to be dominant, and
he said I can carry the team, but I want to believe him, right?
Yes.
Like I know you can carry the team. However, are you in shape to carry the team?
Right. It's crazy how you hear from Brett Brown, you hear from Elton Brand, you hear from Josh Richardson spoke about it. Joel Embiid's in great shape, great shape, great shape. And then when he speaks yesterday, he's like, Yeah, I don't know. I've been working out, but
yeah, I've been chilling and playing video games.
I don't know what kind of NBA shape I'm in. And then I go, is he saying that because he's Joel Embiid and he's Mr. Comedy?
Right.
Or is he being real with you? Like, yeah, no, I've been working out, but listen, I've been playing NBA and I haven't played in an NBA game since March. I'm being real with you.
Right.
But you don't know. You don't know when it comes to Joel Embiid because he's Mr. Ha-Ha funny guy, but at the same time.
He also knows, and he's also a chain yanker.
Mm-hmm.
Right? A crank yanker.
Yes.
He is.
Yeah, he'll go out through the first game, ball out, and be like, ha-ha, gotcha.
Yeah, but he also knows that no one doubts his ability.
Correct.
What they doubt is he going to bring it? Is he in shape to bring it? And he knows his conditioning is a big part of the. So he's aware of that.
Right.
So he'll yank you.
But I think that's why people jump on Ben Simmons more so than Joel Embiid. Because we know that the talent is there for
Embiid. But what's more frustrating? Is it more frustrating to have a player who is completely talented, ridiculously talented and with abilities beyond anything, but he's sometimesy when he wants to show it.
And for me, it's more frustrating that it's Embiid than Simmons. But for everybody else, it seems like, for most Sixers fans, because everybody has picked up a basketball at some point in their life and has attempted a jump shot and has either made it or missed it, but if they miss it, they said, look, I attempted it. Whereas we can't relate to Joel Embiid's talents. We can't. You and I can't relate to a guy who can do post moves like Embiid does.
7 feet tall.
Seven feet tall, can step out, can hit a three, can block shots, can do everything. We can't relate to that. We can relate to, well, we can't relate to Ben Simmons' freakish athleticism either, but we can relate to shooting a jump shot. And a lot of people glom onto that because they can shoot a jump shot. And people go, well, when I was at the Y last week, I hit a three in front of somebody's face. I was able to do that at the Y with other guys that are just here to have fun. Why can't Ben Simmons do that? Who was, a number one pick. They had a documentary of him as he was getting drafted. And people were upset by that. More so than Joel Embiid's willingness or not to go to ball out every single night. It does bother me more, though, the Embiid thing.
Well, it should in that. You got a guy who's just sometimes bored. When I say sometimes, he sometimes shows up, sometimes he doesn't, and then he's prone to moods. Like, does he see one of my conundrums is when I think about him is he's a guy that's gotta mature, right? Like as a professional. You look at LeBron and you look at Kawhi Leonard, right? The two best players in the league. You look at those two and they're men, right? When it comes down to achieving and trying to win, there's no sometimesy. They're in the greatest of shape at all times. They're, focused. But sometimes Embiid is not focused as the big man. Sometimes he's like, and he's also emotional. The thing about LeBron's not emotional. He's more emotional than Leonard, but Kawhi Leonard is a robot, right? When it comes to emotions. When Joe will get emotional, and Simmons is not emotional, right? There's times he'll get mad, and he doesn't like when he got the ovation when he shot the three, but Embiid is completely emotional. He's happy, he's not, he's miserable, he's bored. He's a supremely intelligent person.
Yes, he is.
And sometimes that works against him. Because he thinks about things and you can almost feel what he's thinking. And that is, well, why am I busting it? It's a Tuesday night in Cleveland. They got the playoffs. I always talked about every great player, superstar in that league needs a carrot, right? You need a carrot to chase.
Yes.
For some guys, it's scoring, right? For other guys, it's like Harden. Harden's all about stats, right? Individual. For a guy like LeBron, it's about legacy, right? All the, that's a carrot. That's what drives you. And I know I'm going deep here, but I don't know what drives Joel Embiid.
I thought it was just the national spotlight, primetime games. And we've seen him ball out on primetime games. I think that's part of it. Yeah. But not every single game is a primetime game.
But what is the key that drives him beyond just prime? Like LeBron is driven no matter what happens.
Right.
Right? James Harden, no matter whatever the game is. And this something, I hate the Rockets. I always tell you this. But the one thing I respect about James Harden is he comes to ball every game. It's a Tuesday in Cleveland, and he's trying to put up 50. All right? That's a lot like AI. AI came to, didn't matter. If there was a game, he was in.
Right.
And for 48 minutes, and he didn't want to come out. And that was his carrot. Like, he wasn't going to practice, and he wasn't going to, take care of himself in that sense, his body. But he loved playing the game. He had the competitive spirit to play the game. So what's Embiid's carrot?
It's a great question. It's a great question because he talked about not having fun this year. Remember that? That was a big deal because then you saw the next couple of weeks of the terrible body language that he showed during games with his head down, his shoulders slumped down. Every time there was a call that didn't go his way, he just rolled his eyes. It wasn't like fiery. It was just like,
right.
Okay, I'll go back down to the other end of the court. There was something that, and it happened after the Karl Anthony Towns fight.
Yep.
And that, I think, was probably the first time, Ant, where he was told, you can't do that. Think about it. This is a guy that we waited 2 years for. Number one, the first time they were told you can't do that was when he tried kicking the chair because they didn't let him back in the game. Remember? Because of the load management, the amount of minutes.
That's right.
The other time was after he goes on this Twitter rant and calls Karl Anthony Towns a P-word multiple times. And obviously somebody within the Sixers said, Joe, you can't do that. And I think that was the first time since playing competitive basketball, going back to college, where Joel Embiid was told you can't do that. Probably the first time. Think about it. This guy, we've been waiting for him, and rightfully so. I mean, look at the talent. Like, I'm not saying those 2 years were a waste. No, I'm glad that we waited 2 years. Look, we have the best big man in the NBA. He is still the best big man. If not, he's number two, right? He's pretty damn good basketball player. But that's probably the first time he was told you can't do that from a higher up.
Yes.
And I think he groused about it, and it lasted a long time. Way too long.
I agree. I completely agree.
And some people can't handle that.
So I want to discuss him today like we discussed some of these big figures. I got a list of figures that we're going to discuss today.
Okay.
Including Bryce Harper.
Okay.
Because I want to get into him. Including Rhys Hoskins. Including Joe Girardi. I want to discuss the people today and the issues. And one of the other little fun side topics that I want, because I want to compile a list today. And that list is the gems that were here that we never realized. Like, they played here, left, and went on to greatness elsewhere.
Okay.
So it got me thinking because we were talking about Shake Milton. And we were talking about Shake, and I go, and I brought this up to Legs on Monday. I hope Shake can become a Lou Williams light. And Lou Williams leaves here, and it feels like forever because he came here at 18 years old.
Yep.
He leaves here, and he becomes one of the great six men of all time. But could you imagine if Lou Williams is playing here?
Yeah, first he comes off the bench and gives you a scoring threat. Then you can play him next to Ben later in the game when he needs some points.
Right?
It'd be a perfect fit.
So, and he was here. Yeah, I'll never forget. And here's a funny. And this is, I'll raise my hand in the mistake, all right, that I made. So Lou is playing Summer League. And it's his, he's going into his third, maybe it's his second year. Yeah, because it was his second Summer League. And dude, this kid was putting up numbers. I want to say it was his third year, but he was putting up ridiculous numbers in the Summer League. I mean, 35, like crazy numbers. So I have him on as a guest. I'm excited to talk to him. I'm like, I like this kid. I go, Lou, listen, I know you could score, but I want to see you be a facilitator. Like, I want to see, like, I don't want to see you shoot. Like, I know you could score, but I want you to work on your game as a facilitator because you're going to have to be a point guard, a combo one, but a point guard. And it turns out that he really didn't need to do that. All he really needed to do was just be a scorer, and he could still kind of run a half a, he's way more scorer than he is facilitator and way more combo two than one. But, you know, he can handle an offense off the bench. And he can just light it up. And he was here.
Now, can I ask you something?
Yeah.
Does this player have to have been good here before leaving?
No, we not had. No, in fact, it's the opposite. It's more like the player left. I don't care what sport it is.
Right.
The player left and flourished. I'll give you another example. All right. The Bob.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
All right. We stuck with Humongous. All right.
Yes.
The Russian kook.
What have you done for this city?
All right. We stuck with him because they paid Ilya Brizgalov that ridiculous contract and had to.
So Humongous big, right?
And we gave away the better goalie. So that's the criteria. The guy that was here, and I'm curious, throughout the, you know, there's probably a lot of dudes, some really like great players that have left.
Yeah, I have another Sixer. I'll give it to you on the side. He didn't become a superstar in the NBA, but his craft is one of the better that we've ever seen.
All right, so here's the deal. So it's the 50 things off my, and I got to get off my chest that I want to talk about. And it's Uber Sports today. And if you got a guy, you let us know. We'll get the conversation. I want to start with Embiid and how we feel about Embiid. Because you know what the one thing is? Let's be real here. He cost them their Raptors series. Say what you want about, you know, Ben. If he shows up at game four, that series is over. 610-632-0975. And he didn't get at all smacked around by it. And you know this town. Just ask Wentz, right?
You know why?
Just ask Ben.
You know why? Because he cried.
Yes. 610-632-0975. That's how you reach us, 610-632-0975. It's Cuz Radio with Chewin'. So what do I tell you about the playback right here on 97.5 The Fanatic?
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
Hey, it's 11:30. Hanging out today. Want to have a nice dialogue with you guys today. We were guest heavy on Monday, and yesterday was all the Deshaun Jackson conversation. And so today we're lighting it up, talking more about the sports and having some fun with some ancillary things. And our 11 o'clock hour, by the way, is brought to you by Golden Nugget Jewelers, where Philly gets engaged. And then coming up, the playback today. You ready? We're going to begin a series of heartbreaks. Yes. We have staved off long enough. Andrew has warned me not to bring up the heartbreaks. But to me, the heartbreaks are every bit a part of the lure of Philadelphia sports. If we're 4-for-4, you can't have the highs without the heartbreaks. You must, my favorite phrase that I coined, you must bleed to know bliss. Andrew, did you know bliss when the Eagles won the Super Bowl?
Yes, I did.
You know why you knew sheer bliss? You know why that was rapture to all of us?
Because I bled.
Yes, and you severely bled. And so it meant that much more. And so our playback, because you really tried to talk me out of the idea of the heartbreak stuff.
Yeah, I figured.
But that's because you're a child of Disney.
I do love Disney.
You're a child of the Disney film, the happy ending.
Well, I also figured that like 2 months ago when we first started talking about it with the Toronto quadruple doink, two months ago we were in the thick of COVID-19, and I was like, I don't think we should pile on.
Listen, you were right back then. I agree.
But I know that we are getting closer to happiness, I hope, as long as everything goes well. And we did promise that we'll do the heartbreak leading up to the Super Bowl run, which we also have held on to because we want to end the streak of playbacks with the Super Bowl run. So I think for us to do the Super Bowl run, again, we're going to feel such happiness during that week.
I know, but again, it brings us back to something because you can't ignore our lore without playing heartbreak games. They're every bit a part of who we are. Part of the makeup and the constitution of 4-for-4 fandom is you cried. And you want to hide from it. Let me get the happy ending. That's the problem. You're a Disney boy.
I'm a fan of Disney.
God forbid, gotta give him a happy ending. And I'm not talking about melodramatic, some of that Italian cinema that's bleak and dark and neorealism. But you can handle it. And today our playback is going to be Eagles and Rams. And it's funny, I chose this on purpose because just to put your toe in the water of heartbreak, this was more of a hopeful loss than a devastating soul-crushing loss. We've had a lot of those.
Yes, we have.
But this was the most tepid of losses because it happened in the beginning. It happened in 2001, and the Eagles overachieved that year when they got to the NFC title game and played the Rams.
Right.
They were big underdogs.
So we're just warming up for the for the devastating loss.
I've had two of the worst losses that I, as a grown man on the air, was morose. And they would always be 2002, the end of the vet.
Yep.
And one bloody nil. Game 5 against the Cardinals. But, that loss against the Giants was no picnic either.
No, it wasn't.
And that loss against the Yankees was no picnic either, was it?
Nope.
And that loss against Carolina sucked. And so did that loss against Arizona. That sucked. Right? And so did the Super Bowl in Jacksonville. I'll never forget the scene of Jacksonville. Speaking of heartbreak. So here we are. It's all my friends. We drove down to go to the Super Bowl. We stay in this disgusting, heinous roadside crackhead motel. All right? that they wanted to charge $500 a night for. There's a pool, and the pool has got like brown water around it. All right? So it's after the Super Bowl, and we're trying to digest what happened. So my cousin goes and grabs a couple cases, and we're all sitting around this horrible pool area. It's still light. It's still like, maybe it was lit up. I don't know. No, it was dark by then, but still, we were sitting around this pool area, and we're drinking, and we're just talking. It's like, you know, just kind of figuring it out, talk about the game, drinking beers, and the manager comes out and starts yelling at us for congregating at this raggedy-ass pool area.
Why?
Because you got open bottles by the pool. This and that, you know, and we're like,
what?
Well, we're like grown men. We're just sitting here having a couple beers. We're talking about the game. Our team just lost, and you're busting my balls. And this guy was
just throwing him in the water.
It's terrible, right? So I'm calling the cops. This and that. So what do you think happened, right? So we leave, you know. So all right. So on the way out, all the beach chairs or the pool, all the pool furniture in the water.
So before the Baxter,
in the water. Let's go to Kenny. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Kenny. Yo, Ken.
Hi, cuz. Great to talk to you.
What's happening, buddy?
I beg you not to do this series. It's been such a bad year that I don't think I can take the wounds again. But you're right. You know, that 0-1 season, you know, that was a little bit of house money, but that was still, if you really go back and examine that game, it was there for the taking.
It was.
And, you know, it was kind of a prelude to the horror that would await us a year later.
Who got hurt, Ken? You remember? Remember? Troy Vincent got hurt.
I remember the 10-7 lead at halftime.
Yes, we thought we were going for the Super Bowl.
I remember watching that game with my buddies, thinking, "Is this going to happen? Are we really going to do this?" Because if you remember, leading up to that game when we won the division, the Giants almost beat us on a miraculous Tiki Barber kind of play at the end of that.
Yes,
game.
Yes, yeah. great. You're right.
But if you're going to do the following year, the NFC Championship game or game six of the 93 World Series, I beg you to reconsider.
Okay, so let's talk about it because I think this is awesome conversation. I know it's a tough year, all right? But it's these stories are interesting. And as devastating and soul-crushing as they were to us, it's part of our lore. It's a part of our history. How do we turn our back? It's what makes us who we are today.
Right, but over the 25-year-old back in 02, and that game left me in tears.
Yeah, I can't even, me too.
The same way that game 7 of the 87 Stanley Cup did.
You and I are around the same age. I cried. I cried those games. I cried with you.
Cried as an adult male.
Yes.
Crazy.
And we're strong enough. Come on, Kenny. You're not the Chunas Disney kid.
No,
who needs a happy ending every time.
It's just the timing. It's all about timing. Please, I beg you.
I need you to be strong. This is a test of will.
I don't think I can go through taking
you out. You can do it, my friend.
I don't want to curse Fergusi because I love him.
By my side when we play back Mitch Williams.
Just for you, I'm going to do it.
Thank you, brother. Thank you. I love you, Kenny. Be safe, brother. And you
wish I'm going to Disney World. No difference
who you are. We just play the full Disney movie one day. We'll play back a Disney movie.
I love you.
This is when Aladdin escaped.
Dude, we're strong enough to handle it.
Aladdin found the lamp.
Let me in.
on the magic carpet. He's going to get out. There's Jafar.
Oh,
what's wrong with that?
Even the coach is laughing. Even the coach is laughing at that one. Oh, that's great. We can handle this thing. We can. And here's the deal. The Eagles won the Super Bowl, right? So shouldn't 2002 hurt less?
Yes, 100%. It should.
Can't we look back on it now without as much emotion because Nick Foles, and you know what I'm going to say? God bless Nick Foles. Because Nick Foles won the damn Super Bowl, we could go back to, listen, if the Eagles didn't win the Super Bowl, I'm not going back to OT.
Well, that's why quadruple doink is going to be tough. 6-7-1 yet.
Yeah.
Now, we think they can win with the squad, so maybe that helps.
Right. And again, that game, like, I don't want to replay game four.
Right.
But I would do quadruple doink because it was so just, it was a kick in the balls. Oh, my God.
Like, 93 you can replay.
Right. That's my point. Like, even the game that hurt me the most of that whole run in 08 was the Cardinals game.
Of course.
Because they were ridiculous. They won 102 games. The Phillies were a great ball. I mean, what a club. You got four ridiculous pitchers. They're going to win it. If they get past St. Louis, there's not a doubt in my mind they win it. And we're getting the next parade. And they needed two. They needed two to be a legitimate, you know, half a dino, you know? But the fact is, they still won it. And so we can dissect those losses now with a little bit of a clear head, no? Not so much blinded by emotion.
Yeah, I think so. And we've even talked about it with the Super Bowl. All those memories pre-2000 are almost like, you know, we still cherish. And I'm not saying we shouldn't, but we still cherish Buddy Ryan and that era. And it was great, right? It was a fantastic era.
Well, we don't cherish it as much. Well, I guess
a lot of people do.
Yeah.
People cherish, you know, the Kelly Green, and because it goes back to the era thing that we talked about last week, right? It was a lot of people's childhoods.
Right.
So we cherish, like, oh my God, that team was so great. It sucks that they never won.
All right. And that's all true. And you know why? You know why? Because of the defense. And this was just no ordinary good defense. This wasn't the Buccaneers defense. That was good defense. Brooks, right? Like, they were a good defense. This was one of the greatest defenses of all time. Like, if I make up top five NFL defenses, I go the Bears, the Ravens, the Eagles. That's it. You know, I don't know about Purple People Eaters and all that stuff. The Steel Curtain was a great defense. But if I'm going to go all-time defenses, that gangrene defense is right up there. Better than the sack exchange with the Jets. I mean, I got to go 85 Bears because they were so dominant
course,
that year.
Yeah.
And I got to go Ravens because they were so dominant that year when they win it. But that gangrene defense was in my eyes, the third best defense ever.
Okay, so that's fair. And then, you know, if they just focused on the offense a little bit more,
right,
they probably win the Super Bowl.
How about this? Tasty cake, Dom. I'm pretty sure I'm going to have nightmares tonight. Tony!
97.5.
Thank you, Brandon. Tony, West Philly. You're on 97.5 for that tone.
Cuz, I love you, cuz. You're my favorite, man. You, everything you were saying about the bad memories and the athlete. That you never want to meet. I met I worked at the airport as a Sky Cat, so I met a lot of the athletes. And I will say, most of, you know, the Philly guy of all my teams, majority of them I love. But T.O. and A.I., oh, my God. Like,
If you're a fan of those guys, you'd never want to meet them. I'll leave it at that. Especially T.O. T.O. won't even speak to you.
Yeah.
He'll have his headphones on and look at you like, talk to my agent. And he won't even speak to you.
Yeah.
T.O. was horrible.
Yeah.
That's my experience. Personal experience.
Wait, Tone, you're a Sky Cat?
Yeah, I was a Sky Cat for like 16 years at the airport.
Are you still?
I love B-Dawg. I say this. B-Dawg was my favorite. B-Dawg,
the best. The best
guy. Like every time he talks to you, as you know, as a fan, he's very personable. I love B-Dawg, man. He's my all-time favorite.
He's the best. I'm so with you. He's a great. He's a guy that you want to meet. I'm so with you. Tone, I used to work at the airport too. I was in the. I worked on the ramp.
What airline?
It was back in the day. It was Midway Airlines.
Oh yeah, I remember Midway.
Yeah, I used to love the Sky Caps. They're always the best.
You always
take care of us, the rant guys.
Yeah, absolutely. I just want to get this quick point in.
Yeah, go. Yeah, sure.
We had Wes Walker. Let's not forget that the Eagles had Wes Walker and. You know, he went on to do great things. It's a shame that we didn't capitalize on that talent when we had it.
Wait a second. When do we have Wes Welker?
Like a practice squad guy. I remember hearing that. You know, guy.
You know who you're thinking of?
Who's that?
I don't think it was Wes Welker. You're thinking of that Danny Amendola.
Could be.
Because he was the same kind of dude.
Exactly.
And look, he goes and he's a slot, like, maniac, right?
Yeah.
Catching everything. I think it was Amendola. Yeah, you're right.
Yep.
That's a great one.
And the guy from Orlando, Vucevic.
Vucevic.
Yeah, Vucevic. I liked him better than the two guys we kept. I forget their name.
Yes.
I don't know why Doug let him go, but, you know.
Doug, you know what's amazing? I love Doug Collins, right? As an announcer, broadcaster, like, he was like, wow. When he came here as coach, I was so excited. I was never more disappointed in anybody more than Doug Collins. He was, like, out of his mind.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree with you on that one. Like a lot of his moves just didn't make sense at all.
None! He was a kook! You're like, what are you doing, man?
Lovable guy. And I met Doug.
Yeah.
Great guy.
He is a great dude. Doug. Yes.
It's just that, you know, here as a coach, that didn't work out for him at all.
Nah. And that shocked me. Totally shocked me.
Yeah. I thought Doug was going to, you know, really, you know, carve his niche here, but it didn't happen.
Yeah, brother. I feel you. Tone, man, I love it. I love you, buddy. Be safe out there, all right?
All right, thanks, Doug. Love you too, bro.
See you, brother. He was, let that tell you. You're a Sky Cap, and people don't know you're at the airport. Sky Caps are the guys that help you with your luggage. They can check you in right out there. They'll take your bags for you. It's a great service, the Sky Caps. Big fan of the Sky Caps. And so he was down there. He saw those guys straight up. AI, you don't want to meet.
No.
But he's right. T.O., same thing. T.O., no good, T.O.
Yeah.
T.O.'s the guy you just want to go, oh, yeah, it's T.O.
Yeah.
Who's that? And then you just keep moving.
Oh, he's nice when he came in here that
Dawkins?
Whole time.
Yeah, well, you know, you got to do that. Dawkins? Now, AI now, I'm curious. He might be better now.
He is.
When he was younger, you know. And again, he had more of a reason than T.O. I kind of understand AI a little bit in that sense.
He's been working with the Sixers, obviously. You know, they prayed him around the suites and that kind of stuff. And there was a day, I think, like, the Mike Missinelli show was hosting a suite. And, you know, I have a media pass, so I found my way up to the suite to hang out and enjoy some of the stuff with the people that were there. And AI stopped by to take pictures with everyone. And he was just such a nice person to everyone. Every single person there wanted to take a picture with him. And he spoke with every single person there. And
I mean, you know, God bless him. Because I think that was, when you're young and, you know, you got everybody calling on you. Like, I can, uh, I can understand that. You know, that he was a little bit ultra rude. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, ultra. Sure.
Not rude, like nasty. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm sure.
But now the two guys you always want to meet is Tony brought up Dawkins. B. Dawg is the real deal. And then the other guy, perhaps the greatest guy you ever want to meet, is Charles.
Oh, my God, yeah.
He's just the best.
And talk about giving you the time to talk.
Yeah, that dude is aces.
Incredible person.
He's just one of the greats. He truly is one of the greats. All right, we'll come back. A lot of people want to talk about the heartbreak. And I want to have the conversation. I think it's a part of us. I think we should want to go back and understand the story and remember the story. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. Cuz Radio with the Chunis. Who's with Aladdin. Look, we heard all the rumors about Fight Island. It's finally here. This weekend's UFC 251 is set to be the best yet. Big names stepping into the octagon all throughout the night. This is an event you don't want to miss. And there's no better place to get it in on the action than with the DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app. This week only, DraftKings offering new users a special odds boost on this weekend's headline fight. Bet 20, win 100 on either fighter. This week is full of action from golf to European soccer all the way to Abu Dhabi for Fight Island. And DraftKings Sportsbook's got you covered. And for the big fight this weekend, DraftKings offering all users, not one, but two profit boosts when you place a bet on UFC 251. Just place a pre-match bet on a fighter. And if they win, your payout increases. DraftKings Sportsbook, U.S.-based, making it safe, secure, and reliable. Plus, easy to deposit, withdraw your funds whenever you want. And to top it all off, DraftKings Sportsbook offering the best sign-up offer to date right now. You don't want to miss it. Download the top-rated Sportsbook app and use code Fanatic. When you sign up for limited time, new users get a no-brainer odds boost on the headline fight this Saturday. Bet 20, win 100. Yep, that's right. No matter if you pick Usman or Burns, your odds will be boosted to 20 to win 100. Head to DraftKings Sportsbook now. Sign up with code Fanatic. Got to be 21 or older. Pennsylvania only. Partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
The NFC Championship game. The date, January 27th, 2002. Inside the Dome at America's Center. Eagles at Rams, 4:27 p.m. first kick. The attendance, 66,502. And we go to Fox, Pat Summerall and John Madden on the call, the legends. Let's start with a quick intro from Summerall with Madden's keys to the game. And you also get to listen to Pat read the Eagles starting lineup on offense.
Today, the Eagles, not many people give them a chance. How do you feel about that?
Well, and I think they're using that for their motivation. I mean, that's what they've been talking about. You know, that we come in here, no one thinks we can win, so that makes us lose.
As far as the Rams are concerned, you hear so much about their offense, firepower, how many points they scored, but they can play on both sides of the ball now.
Well, you know, that's the thing that has gotten them this last week or so, but I think that this guy is the guy that makes everything run, and Kurt Warner, and we know that, you know, he has the injured ribs, and I was talking to Mike March before the game, and he says that there's a couple ways to take the pressure off him. One is your offensive line has to block, and two, he says, I got to get the ball in number 28's hand, meaning Marshall Faulk. He said, we have to get the ball to him, so I think they're going to run a little more today.
Here's the Eagle lineup. That's the offensive line, Thomas, Wellborn, Fraley, Mayberry, and Runyon. Wide receivers are James Thrash and Todd Payson, Deuce Staley, Cecil Martin, the runners. Chad Lewis is the tight end. And the quarterback, the guy who you've got to stop, and that's very difficult, is Donovan McNabb.
Wow! Come on, Andrew! You looking fired up over that?
Oh, I do get fired up.
Cecil Martin. I love Cecil. Cecil was a fullback. All right, Eagles start with the ball. Second play of the game.
This doesn't fire me up.
Not a good start for five.
Burrell Buckhalter is the deep back. And McNabb faked to him. Dropped the ball, and the Rams had it. Brian Young recovered the fumble. The first turnover, the first break, and it happened very quickly.
And just like last week, you look at Donovan McNabb. The ball just came out. He wasn't hit before the ball came out, and it just went to the ground. Second big play, the first play, the Rams tip it. This play, you see Leonard Little is getting there, but Donovan McNabb dropped the ball before Little got there. You see right there, he had it up. He was bringing it down to his waist, and the ball just came right out.
Patrick Mahomes, he was not.
I would say no.
You know, you think about young players coming in to playoffs. Like, here's Mahomes. He's dropping the ball freaking first drive. Got first pass tipped.
It doesn't get hit.
He drops the ball. Eagles quickly turn the ball over. Rams start. First possession on the Eagles 21. Few plays later, Kurt Warner looking the greatest show on turf, trying to connect. Here it is.
Today, I think he wants to be a little more conservative and more running game.
Tight ends in the backfield. Here's Warner. Left on the outside, touchdown, Rams, Isaac Bruce. The Rams break on top. Just like that.
Now, they said they were going to try Troy Vincent now. They didn't think they were going to get the ball down here, but that's what this is. They come on a blitz, and they get Isaac Bruce out here on Troy Vincent, and you see Bruce has him by two or three steps.
Oh, greatest show on turf. 7-0 Rams, but, all right, this would be a game, folks. And here we go. Eagles back on offense. Now, it's 3rd and 5. You go, oh, man, you can't give the ball back to the greatest show on turf. So what does Andy do? Andy goes to that Deuce Staley.
Lewis backs off the line and comes in motion. Deuce Staley. Staley still on his feet. Staley into Ram territory to the 41, stopped by Kim Harry.
You can see that the Eagles are starting to settle down a little now.
Yeah.
Deuce Staley is very strong in that hip area. Now, they said that they have to tackle. Watch Dexter McLean there. He misses Deuce Staley. Deuce Staley, if you're going to tackle with your hand or arms like that, Deuce Staley will run through your tackles all day.
Now, do you feel like you're playing Madden right now?
Yes. Yes, 100%.
Right? Is it true or what? It's great. Eagles get 3 on that drive. They make it 7-3. Rams quickly get 3 of their own. All right. So it's 10-3 St. Louis. Now let's get the highlight. One of the greats, Brian Dawkins. For everybody who says, oh, B-Dawk, playoffs, comes up. Had a great game that night. Rams on offense. They're deep in Eagles territory. And here you go. Oh, to Doc.
There's a handoff to Funk. Ooh, Hawkins.
Yep, one of the best blitzers. One of the best safeties. I think Brian Dawkins is the best free safety in all football. And you're going to see him right here. And the thing that he does is when he gets here, he knows how to tackle. You know, as Troy Vincent would tell us, he learned from Brian Dawkins that you don't go to a spot, you go to the guy's front leg.
Three wide receivers set up. Warner back to throw and throws up the middle incomplete. Crowd's yelling for a flag. Oz Hakeem, the target. No flag.
That's the other thing Brian Dawkins does. Brian Dawkins just doesn't blitz. I mean, if you come in the middle, you're going to have a collision with Brian Dawkins.
Dude, the Oz Hakeem. How great is that? Come on, Andrew. Man, D-Dawk was the man, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah. Favorite player all time. I mean, that's never going
to
change.
I'm sorry. I hear this stuff and I'm listening to, you know, Madden say, he's the best free safety in all football. Yeah.
That's just one of those things. Like, I wish I was a little older to really appreciate Dawkins more.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't want to wish my youth away ever, but it was one of the things where, like, I love Dawk, obviously, but I didn't really appreciate everything that he did as a kid.
Right.
I was just like, oh, that's the guy that hit hard and made a lot of big plays.
All right. That second play Dawkins made forced a fourth down. So the Rams line up for a 53-yard field goal. All right. This one goes the bird's way.
Kurt Warner usually doesn't do that. Kurt Warner kind of led Oz Hakeem right into Brian Dawkins.
Jeff Wilkins will give it a go from 53 yards out. That's going to hit the upright and bounce away. It was long enough, but bad luck. The Rams 10, the Eagles 3.
Yes! A good doink, Andrew, a good one. All right, after that missed field goal, Eagles in need of a big play to gain some momentum. First play of the next drive. Do you remember Carell Buckhalter? Here he is.
The best field position for the Eagles at their own 43, the best starting spot they've had. McNabb appears to be changing things. Buckhalter. Finally by Dexter McLean. Buckhalter all the way to the 25 of the Rams.
Watch this shot here, and you're going to see just before the ball was snapped, I guess you're not going to, but Donovan McNabb hit the left side of his body, yep. And I think that was the audible. Sometimes you go check with me, and you get up to the line of scrimmage, you look at the defense, you're either going to run right or left. That time, Donovan McNabb hit his left side, and they ran to the left.
He's the best, Madden. Carell Buck. It's amazing. So far, it's been Eagles' run game that's helped them stay in the game.
Yep.
And a few plays later, Eagles find themselves on the one, and here's Deuce.
First and goal at the one. Staley is a deep back. And Staley puts it into the end zone for Philadelphia.
And you notice the thing that it did besides give the Philadelphia Eagles 6 points, it really quieted this crowd.
Deuce! Look at that. Game's tied at 10. Could it be? One of the great upsets of all time. The Rams come back to get three more to take the leads off 13-10. Under 4 minutes left the first half, Andy and Donovan put together a drive. Take a listen to this one right before the end of the first half.
Here's McNabb. Now, you know, Eagles Thrash comes down with it, so now they have.
The Eagles just completed their first pass to a wide receiver.
Third down and 6.
Listen to this crowd. This is when it's always the toughest, third down.
McNabb back, throws Chad Lewis to the 25, Eagle first down.
Don't you feel that McNabb has calmed down now?
Yeah.
You know, we talked about that he was a little hyper, that, you know, he was a little speeded up, and now I think he's slowed down and he's getting in a rhythm, and he's had pretty good pass protection.
Two tight ends set up, third down. McNabb
pass is caught on the sideline by Thrash, and that'll take care of all the speculation about what down it is.
That was a pretty gutsy play, though, because, you know, you get third real short, and instead of just pounding it in there, that's what you think they're going to do. They fake the pound in there, but look at the effect that it has on that Ram defense. It brings all those linebackers, it brings everyone up there, and then he has an isolation out here, James Thrash against Neas Williams.
And the Eagles are out of timeouts. Here's McNabb. Touchdown, end zone, shot to Todd Pinkston. That's a heck of a throw and a heck of a catch that to go with it.
That was a great throw. And I think maybe the thing that Bill Kohler was calling was blitz, and everyone has to get there because they come in a blitz, and when you come in a blitz, what happens? You're man-to-man out there. Pinkston gets right by Dexter McLeod.
Dexter McLeod. Wow. Touchdown, Pinky. Do the Pinky dance. Are you doing the Pinky dance, Andrew?
No.
No.
I would say no.
I'd rather do the talented wide receiver dance.
How about when he goes, it's the end of the first half, and they go, and the Eagles complete their first reception to a wide receiver.
Yeah, how about that? It was all running back screens and Chad Lewis.
It's their first pass to a wide receiver, the first completion out there. Oh, my God. That's amazing. But, dude, so let me just tell you real quick. It's halftime. The Eagles are leading. We thought we were going to the Super Bowl, dude. Like, you don't understand how crazy it was? Imagine. I'm watching the game. Well, my buddies are over at my buddy Boo's house. We're in the garage. And we're going to the Super Bowl. It's Super Bowl. We're going to go to the Super Bowl. We're all freaking out. Who's making plans?
Wow.
Somebody was going to fold the airlines.
Oh, that's a jinx right there.
So the Rams start with the ball in the second half. They get three on their opening drive. So it's 17-16 Eagles, right? The Eagles then go three and out. And now here comes the greatest show on turf.
First and 10 Rams. Warner about to throw. Has a man open. Isaac Bruce. Second and 10. The blitz comes, but Bruce beats it. Finds him.
You know, the whole thing about Kurt Warner and his ribs and how is he and everything, if his ribs are bothering him, he can't make that throw. He can't get rid of the ball that quickly. There is nothing bothering him right now.
The Eagles do not blitz. The pass is caught up the middle. Torrey Holt made the reception inside the 10. Ball control this half belongs to St. Louis.
That would be what Mike March thought about and talked about at halftime.
By a big margin. This is Marshall Faulk. Touchdown. The Rams take the lead.
I still remember, man. Rams are up 22-17. They have a decision to make. Do they take the points, go for two, and make it a 7-point game? They decide to go for two. Here it is.
Kurt Warner just checked back into the huddle.
You know, they got that list that they look at.
It tells you the
score and then what you do. I was one that would always kick the extra point until it got down to the fourth quarter.
Never liked that list. A minute 18 left in the third. Off is the deep back. Warner back to throw. Lofts it in the end zone. Drop by Conwell. That was the perfect throw to Ernie Conwell.
Ernie Conwell. Remember, he was a tight end? So St. Louis fails the two-point conversion. The game stays 22-17 Rams. Can the Eagles retake the lead, all right? They have two straight three-and-outs on offense. Donovan scuffling. The offense scuffling. And the Rams get the ball back. Take a listen.
That's pretty good balance all the way.
Second and goal. Ball. And with the second surge, he was down. Touchdown has been signaled, and the Rams move further ahead.
This is just doing everything you can to get in there. You put your head down, You drive, you turn, you spin. The reach over backwards to get that ball across the plane.
Wilkins' extra point is good.
Ah, there it was. All right, Eagles now down 29-17. All right, they're down 12, but not over yet. Eagles back on offense, and they get right back into Rams territory. Now we're hoping. It's first and 10 from the St. Louis 23. This is what happens.
3:02 left. McNabb has the Eagles inside the Rams 5. Makes it 29-23, and now what do you do?
And now I think you just kicked. I mean, if you get 23, I think you kicked an extra point here.
So, very next play, take a listen to what happens. McNabb. Wait, where are we at? I thought we were at the, you played both of them the same?
Oh, did I? I might not.
Yeah.
Sorry, made a mistake there. McNabb scored a touchdown.
Yeah.
I did have a completion of thrash.
Yeah.
But it wasn't a good call, so I took that one out.
Yeah, you completely, all right.
My bad.
I love you. No problem. Eagles need to make a stop now. They have all three of their timeouts left. Eagles just need to run the ball. The Rams just need to run the ball, all right? But here's the deal. It's 3rd and 9. There's 2:36 left on the clock. And the Eagles make a stop.
Here is the pitch back to Marshall Faulk. He has cut down a fine tackle by Rashard Cook. And it brings up a 4th. And the Eagles take a timeout.
And this crowd is really quiet now.
Yep.
But look at all those white jerseys around Marshall Faulk. That was a big, big defensive play for the Philadelphia Eagles and a big, big tackle by Rashard Cook.
Rashard Cook, Andrew. That's a good bust out there.
That is a bust out.
All right, now. You ready? We need a drive. We're right there. This is it. We got the ball back, dude. Plenty of time, right? We need 5 to be clutch. We need 5 to step up. 5 back to pass. So you have all 4 plays or just the last one?
Just the last one, yeah.
Because the first 3 were incomplete. See, the first 3 was interesting because there was a talk about somebody running the wrong route on one of the plays. Actually, it might have been even this one. Take a listen.
This can be it.
Here's your trip to New Orleans. They make the first. The Eagles stay alive. They don't. The Rams and the Patriots. McNabb drops. Here comes a blitz again. McNabb drops away from it. And throws. Pass is intercepted by Aeneas Williams. He made the big plays last week. He made them again.
He is right there. He just trailed Freddie Mitchell. He got underneath him and then made the interception.
Oh, Andrew, I want to cry. The Eagles wound up getting the ball back. 3 seconds left in the game. They got one more Hail Mary. Here it is.
So we got one more excitement left here, Patrick.
From their own 35. The Eagles will go with one more play. 29-24. The Rams lead. It was not the runaway that many people thought it might be.
Nab's going to have to throw one about 65 yards here.
He's got the gun. Here's Staley. Now they go lateral. And the ball comes loose. This one is over. And the Rams go to Super Bowl 36 under the leadership of Mike Martz.
They lost, Andrew! They lost!
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.